Well, if you have your Bibles, find your way to Judges chapter 18. Judges chapter 18, and we're rapidly approaching the conclusion to the book of Judges. As you're getting there, you just might think about the truth that every day to follow Jesus, to be a Christian, we have to make decisions about going our way or going God's way. And sometimes those decisions are crystal clear where it's obvious, like what God's calling us to and what maybe we might want instead, or what others might be encouraging us to, or what we're tempted to instead. And often that choice is not obvious. And sometimes it's hard to tell, well, what is God calling me to or not. You know, the truth is that the life of faith in Jesus means we're going to have to make decisions to follow Him sometimes when we don't want to and when it's very difficult and when it's hard. You might remember just last week as Pastor Andy walked you through that scene there in Judges 17, we had that insertion, this comment by the narrator that everybody in Israel was doing whatever was right in their own eyes. And there it is. You know, as we've seen in Judges, Israelite culture devolve and kind of spiral downward as they keep choosing to worship other gods instead of the God who is. And then even the judges, the deliverers, are spiraling downward and their quality is going down and down spiritually. As we watch that kind of train wreck happen, we realize that it's because each one in Israel was just doing whatever they wanted to do. They were doing whatever was right in their own eyes, rather than doing what God had called them to do, which often is very hard and very difficult. Again, often it boils down to, are we going to go our way or are we going to go God's way? Consider the American missionary Adoniram Judson. You talk about choosing to do a hard thing for the Lord. Adoniram Judson and his wife Anna, they went to Burma in the early 1800s as missionaries when nobody was going anywhere really in that regard to that culture as missionaries. They had been married for 12 days, right? 12 days. He met this girl in college and that he wanted to marry her. So he wrote this letter to her dad asking permission to marry her. And in the letter to her dad, he basically says, we're going to Burma, which means there's a very high probability that we'll both be dead within 5 years. Are you cool with that? Right? I'm updating the language, but that's basically what he said. And, any sane father would have said no, right? But he said, it's up to her. It's her choice. And so they got married and 12 days later, they're on a boat. Takes months to get to India and then to Burma. Yeah, it's just, you know, those stories of people choosing to do very difficult and hard things for the Lord are unfortunately rare, right? They're just not that common. It was a hard road, by the way. You know, we could choose, think about it, we could choose daily to follow God and to walk by faith, to do hard things for Him. Or not. We could just be comfortable. We could retire with ease. We could keep our faith private to ourselves and never risk anything and basically just do whatever we want to do. You see, in Judges, what started with the tribe of Judah and Othniel, if you'll remember back to chapter 1, the tribe of Judah and Othniel going in and they needed to conquer their tribal territory. That's where Judges started. Remember that in the promised land in Israel, God gave each tribe a zip code, right? We use that analogy there. He gave each tribe a zip code and each tribe was responsible by faith in God to go and do a very hard thing, which was to go to war with the Canaanites and drive them out. And there was no reason to believe they would succeed other than God's blessing. So it starts with Judah, and Judah goes in and they conquered their territory, and praise God, God's word was vindicated, and how awesome was that moment. And now we've come to the point at the end of Judges where we're going to see a reversal of that very situation of Israel walking by faith and trusting God. As we do so, we're going to learn, I think, a ton about what it means for us to walk by faith and to follow Jesus today here in New Jersey in 2016. So let's take a look at Judges 18, picking it up in verse 1. And verse 1 is a transition verse that both concludes the previous episode and gets us into the next one. But let's just read from Judges 18:1. There we read this. In those days, there was no king in Israel. And in those days, the tribe of the people of Dan was seeking for itself an inheritance to dwell in. For until then, no inheritance among the tribes of Israel had fallen to them. So the people of Dan sent 5 able men from the whole number of their tribe, from Zorah and from Eshtaol, to spy out the land and to explore it. And they said to them, go and explore the land. And they came to the hill country of Ephraim, to the house of Micah, and lodged there. When they were by the house of Micah, they recognized the voice of the young Levite, and they turned aside and said to him, who brought you here? What are you doing in this place? What's your business here? And he said to them, well, this is how Micah has dealt with me. He has hired me, and I have become his priest. And they said to him, well, inquire of God, please, that we may know whether the journey on which we are setting out will succeed. When the priest said to them, go in peace, the journey on which you go is under the eye of the Lord. All right, we pause here. We have to be aware of the previous episode and really the context of the Old Testament to really get what's going on in this chapter. First of all, in chapter 18, verse 1, there's no king in Israel, again, assuming everybody's still doing what's right in their own eyes. And in those days, the tribe of Dan was seeking an inheritance to dwell in, for until then, no inheritance among the tribes of Israel had fallen to them. Now let's clarify this a little bit. The narrator is reminding us of what we already know from Judges chapter 1, which is this. Every tribe has a zip code, okay? But the people of Dan had not conquered their zip code. I can show you. We'll just look at it on the map. But they've got a spot that they're supposed to be living. It's right here. Right? This is the spot. You can see here is Ephraim. This is where Micah lived, the guy from last week. The guy who stole silver from his mom and then finally confessed it. And then they used the silver to build the idols. And then he set up a false worship center and then convinced a Levite to lead the false worship. Right? Great guy. Great spot. I'm being facetious. Anyway. So here's Dan, and here Micah's important. We'll get to him in just a second. Here's Dan. This is their zip code. Now, Zorah and Eshtaol is like right here. And so basically the whole tribe of Dan is squished up into these two towns in this one particular region because in Judges chapter 1 it tells us that they did not conquer the Amorites and probably also the Philistines. They didn't conquer them by faith. They just left them there. And so here they're squeezed into this smaller part, and frankly, it says no inheritance had fallen to them. They were given an inheritance by God, but they just didn't go take it by faith. And so they want a different zip code. They want a new place to live. So they get these five guys, they say, go spy out the land and, see what you can find out. See if there's a better zip code for us. Note, a better zip code than the one God gave us, right? See if there's a better zip code for us that will be easier for us to get, right? It's a place that we can go and we can live without having to, to fight these people off, these battle-hardened Canaanites, all right? So that's the plan. So the five spies leave, and then they end up going and they stop at that guy Micah's house, right? So they stop in Ephraim, right? And they're there, and they're just staying there overnight, and they hear the voice of this Levite, this young priest who was hired on. Remember, he was wandering, and he probably shouldn't have been wandering, and he's there, and now he sets up, this false worship center, and he kind of gives it the stamp of approval. Remember, the tribe of Levi, they're supposed to lead Israel in worshiping God, the true God, not worshiping false gods, okay? Just to state the obvious. So they recognize the guy's voice or his accent, and they're like, man, are you from Jersey? Like, they're like, they recognize him. Like, what are you doing here? Why are you up here in Ephraim? What's the deal? And, he says, oh, this is what's happened. I'm a Levite. I'm here. I got this private, worship thing gig set up, and I get, it's a sweet, I get a sweet, package that comes along with it and all this stuff. So he's explaining to them the situation, and then they say, go inquire of God to find out if this is going to be successful. Now, that's something that was very common in all ancient Near Eastern cultures, where if you're going to start a business, or if you're going to go to war, or if you're going to do something, you would go to a priest and ask the priest to consult your god or your goddess or your gods or your goddesses or whatever, and the priest would go and do their thing, and then the priest would come back and say go or no go, based on what, his information was, and then, they'd tell you, start the business, don't start the business, go to war with them, don't go to war with them, whatever. So these guys from Dan, they're trying to find a new zip code, and they're like, hey, great, we've got a priest here, brilliant, let's get the stamp of approval from God, and find out if this is going to be successful or not. And the guy, the Levite goes back into the closet and comes back out and he says, oh yeah, it's going to be successful. Go for it, right? Go for it. Now, we should be very suspect of this whole situation because of what's going on. You've got a tribal group, the tribe of Dan, wanting to leave the zip code that God gave them. You've got these spies going out to find a better spot than what God had given them. They stop at this false worship center with Micah, and they're taking advice from this Levite, who is a renegade Levite leading people in false worship, okay? Which leads us to the first observation from this morning. When we're going the wrong way, we justify sin. That's what's going on with the asking him to, is it going to be successful or not? They want a justification that says, God approves of us changing our zip code. That's what the tribe of Dan wants to know. God approves of this change. When we're going the wrong way, when we're listening to ourselves, when we're not walking by faith, we often will go to great pains to justify our decision making. All right, we justify sin. Dan had an inheritance, it just wasn't good enough for them, or wasn't easy enough for them. And so they just needed somebody to put a spiritual stamp of approval on their sinful decision making. Now, if that's not American Christianity today, I don't know what is. Because we live in a cultural context where people who claim to follow Jesus will justify any decision you want to make. Think about that for a second. I'm not talking about people outside of the realm of claiming to be Christians. I'm talking about people who claim to be followers of Jesus. If there's any decision you want to make, I guarantee there is a Christian that you could, a Christian pastor, a priest, a preacher, or a Christian counselor, or someone that you can get advice from that will justify the decision that you want to make. A couple of examples. We've been going over gender, marriage, and sexuality. There are people who claim to follow Jesus. Despite what God has said, they'll say, you know what, pretty much whatever you want to chase after sexually within a certain amount of bounds, that's fine. It doesn't really matter. All right, and they'll give you a stamp of approval to chase after that stuff. Okay. Another example, I was early in my ministry, I was involved in a situation with a young bride married to this guy. They'd been married like 6 months. And she came and informed us that they were ending their marriage because she had gotten godly counsel that said that God didn't want her to be unhappy. And she was unhappy with him. So they're going to pull the plug on the marriage. Again, Christian counsel. Christian justification for doing whatever it is that they wanted to do. Here's Dan. We're going to change our zip code and pick up a whole tribe of people and move them the wrong way, away from what God had given them and what God was calling them to, because it's too hard and they can't walk by faith. So we're going to go the other way, and we just need a little stamp of approval here from the Levite to say that it's okay. When we're going the wrong way, we justify sin. And justifying sin leads us to a false sense of spiritual security. You know, you say, tell me what I want to hear. Chances are, if you don't want to hear something, it probably means there's something going on there, right? I mean, when there's a problem, there's an infection there, and you poke around, it hurts, that means that there's something that needs to be taken care of, right? You need to go see the doctor about that. So often in our lives, what God will do is He will send preachers, today, right? Or He will send friends and godly counselors and people in your life. He will send them to you to address issues in your life that need to be dealt with. Issues of sin. Issues where you need to make changes. And that sometimes hurts and it makes us uncomfortable. And often what people will do is instead of receiving the Word of God, you know what they'll do? They'll just find another church. Because it's easier. And you know what? They'll just find a different Bible study because they're sick of getting confronted. They'll just find a different group of friends. Because frankly, that's easier than dealing with the hard stuff and actually addressing issues. The truth is, you need your pastor, you need your friends and your counselors to step on your toes if you're going to grow. You need that. And when we're going the wrong way, we don't want to hear that. We just want to justify our sin, and we want a false sense of spiritual security. What sin might you be justifying today? Think about that for just a second. What sin might you be justifying? What stuff are you going, yeah, I know there's probably something going on there, but I just don't want to think about it. Or I don't want to hear about it. It could be sexual sin, could be gossip, could be bitterness, gluttony, greed. We all struggle, right? We all are going to hide sin. So the question is, what are you justifying rather than actually dealing with it? When we're going the wrong way, we justify sin. That's exactly what the tribe of Dan was doing here. But that's not all they were doing. Watch verse 7 as the story goes on. Again, in Judges 18, verse 7. Then the five men departed and came to Laish, and saw the people who were there, how they lived in security, after the manner of the Sidonians, quiet and unsuspecting, lacking nothing that is in the earth, and possessing wealth, and how they were far from the Sidonians and had no dealings with anyone. And when they came to their brothers at Zorah and Eshtaol, their brothers said to them, "What do you report?" They said, "Arise, let us go up against them, for we have seen the land, and behold, it is very good. And will you do nothing? Do not be slow to enter in, and possess the land. As soon as you go, you will come to an unsuspecting people. The land is spacious, for God has given it into your hands, a place where there is no lack of anything that is in the earth." Okay, pause here. Is this sounding bizarrely familiar to anyone else? This is a parody of Numbers 13. Remember when Israel was first rescued out of Egypt? Okay, flashback here. Israel was rescued out of Egypt, and God is bringing them to this land, this promised land that He promised to Abraham. And they're almost there. They're right at the southern border, Kadesh Barnea, and they send up spies to go into the land to scope out their zip codes for their tribes. And the spies go, and they're blown away by the land. They're also blown away by the size and the military strength of the inhabitants. And they come back and they say, there's no way we can do it, all but two, right? So great story, Numbers 13. They come back and say, we can't do it. And two said, we should trust God and go anyway. Everybody else said no. And then you got a whole other generation of wandering in the wilderness. Well, this is basically a parody on that happening, where the tribe of Dan sends out their own spies. They go up to the zip code. They scope it out. And instead of saying, look at how strong the inhabitants are, they come back and they say, those people are so soft, it is going to be so easy to take that land from them, right? It might as well be Delaware. We're just going to go in and take it, all right? All right, we're just going to go and take it. It says, blah. There's just nothing going on there, right? They're saying they don't have any military strength. They're under the leadership of the Sidonians. Sidon was out on the coast. Laish is far away from the coast in the center of Israel. You know what? We're going to go and we're just going to go take them. They don't even have any alarms. Their guards were sleeping the whole time. It says, we can go take this. It will be easy. It will be easy. And see, when we're going the wrong way, we justify sin. When we're going the wrong way, we distort God's will. They use the same language of Numbers 13. To go into the land, to possess the land. That's what God told them to do in the first place in their zip code. They weren't. They said, we've got a better plan, God. This will be easier. We'll go up here and take this other zip code. We'll do this other thing. They take God's will and they twist it and they turn it and they distort it. And they make it sound spiritual. Arise, let's go. Let's go enter the land. But they were already in the land. See, when we're going the wrong way, we distort God's will. Justifying sin and distorting God's will are manifestations of a lack of faith. Right? When we justify sin and when we distort God's will, we're kind of exposing where it is that we don't trust God, where we don't believe God. Maybe this morning you'd confess, no, I struggle with that. I struggle with believing God that He's going to provide for me in certain areas, that He's going to actually deliver on certain promises that He made. Sometimes we personalize a prosperity gospel. The prosperity gospel says, you know, if you're a believer in Jesus and you're doing it right, you'll be rich and wealthy and happy and all that, never sick and all the rest. Well, you know, most of us, you know, are irrational enough to not buy into that wholesale, but sometimes we have a mini prosperity gospel that says, if I come to Jesus, I expect my kids to turn out okay. Or if I come to Jesus, I expect my finances to be in order. If I come to Jesus, I expect Him to do this or to do that for me. Maybe there's an area there where it's like there's this expectation, this desire for God to give you something. And if He doesn't, if it is hard, if there are trials and challenges, then we just doubt. We say, I want to go to do something easier. You know, forget this. Where are you failing to believe God? That He can provide for your financial needs? That's a struggle. You know, we worry about finances more than anything else. God has promised to provide. Do you believe Him? How about physical needs? You know, we have sickness. We have disease that's rampant in this world because of sin. Right, we've got issues. Do you believe that God can provide for you and will provide what you need? Maybe not always what you want, but what you need. Maybe there's a relationship that's falling apart. Maybe there's a marriage or a family that's having tension and trouble. Maybe it's a work situation. Do you believe that God can be at work in the midst of a tense relationship? Do you believe God can restore that family or that marriage? You see, when we're going the wrong way, we distort God's will. We end up just chasing what we want, not what's best. We'd prefer a different zip code. When we're going the wrong way, we justify sin and we distort God's will. We end up going out of the way to avoid faith. Watch the final episode here in this story. Watch verse 11 of Judges 18. So 600 men of the tribe of Dan, armed with weapons of war, set out from Zorah and Eshtol and went up and encamped at Kiriath Yearim in Judah. On this account, that place is called Mahaneh Dan to this day. That means Camp of Dan. Behold, it is west of Kiriath Yearim. By the way, if you went with us to Israel, we stayed on the hill next to this spot. So just if you remember. Verse 13, and they passed on from there to the hill country of Ephraim and came to the house of Micah. All right, 600 armed men coming up. Verse 14, then the five men who had gone out to scout out the country of Laish said to their brothers, do you know that in these houses there are an ephod, household gods, a carved image, and a metal image? Now therefore consider what you will do. And they turned aside there and came to the house of the young Levite at the home of Micah and asked him about his welfare. Now the 600 men of the Danites, armed with their weapons of war, stood by the entrance of the gate. And the five men who had gone to scout out the land went up and entered and took the carved image, the ephod, the household gods, and the metal image, while the priest stood by the entrance of the gate with the 600 men armed with weapons of war. And when these went into Micah's house and took the carved image, the ephod, the household gods, and the metal image, the priest said to them, what are you doing? They said to him, pipe down, keep quiet, put your hand on your mouth and come with us and be to us a father and a priest. Is it better for you to be a priest of the house of one man or to be a priest to a tribe and clan in Israel? And the priest's heart was glad. And he took the ephod and the household gods and the carved image and went along with the people. Pause right there. Don't miss the irony of what's going on here. You've got an entire tribe of Israel that's going the wrong way, walking away from what God had given them to do their own thing. On the way, they pass through this guy Micah's house with the false worship center and all the, you know, note the repetition, all the times, the household gods and these other idols. and this renegade Levite, and they say, you know what, we're going to this new spot, why don't we take, watch it, new gods with us? Think about that. We're walking away from what God has given us, and you know, we should take some other gods with us. And it exposes the reality of what was going on, the decision making there. And so, you know, the Levite's like, what's the deal? You can't just walk in here and take that stuff. And the guys from Dan are like, 600 armed men, you know, I think argue to the contrary, buddy. What are you going to do? And then they say, actually, we got a better offer for you. Why fool around with this guy with just one family when you could come with us and be the spiritual leader for a whole clan, spiritual leader in idolatry and worshiping false gods? And he says, we'll give you a pay raise and all of that. And Micah says, the Levite says, yeah, sure, you got, you know, he thought about it for 0.01 seconds, you know? He says, okay, I'll go. Right? It's a tragedy. Not only is Israel steeped in idolatry, but you got tribes abandoning what God has provided for them to do their own thing, and they're taking false gods with them. Not only are they're stealing false gods to worship. Right? How many commands can we break at once here? Right? I mean, this is incredible, the amount of sin that's on display. Note what happens, by the way. You know, Micah doesn't like it. Verse 21. So they turned and departed, putting the little ones and the livestock and the goods in front of them. When they had gone a distance from the home of Micah, the men who were in the houses near Micah's house were called out. They overtook the people of Dan. They shouted to the people of Dan, who turned around and said to Micah, what's the matter with you that you come with such a company? He said, will you take my gods that I made and the priest and go away? What have I left? How then do you ask me what's the matter with you? And the people of Dan said to him, do not let your voice be heard among us, lest angry fellows fall upon you and you lose your life with the lives of your household. Then the people of Dan went their way, and when Micah saw that they were too strong for him, he turned and went back to his home. But the people of Dan took what Micah had made, and the priests who belonged to him, and they came to Laish, to a people quiet and unsuspecting, and struck them with the edge of the sword and burned the city with fire. And there was no deliverer, because it was far from Sidon, and they had no dealings with anyone. It was in the valley that belongs to Beth-Rehob. And they rebuilt the city and lived in it. And they named the city Dan after the name of Dan, their ancestor, who was born to Israel. But the name was Laish at the first. And the people of Dan set up the carved image for themselves. And Jonathan, the son of Gershom, son of Moses, and his sons were priests to the tribe of the Danites until the day of the captivity of the land. So they set up Micah's carved image that he made as long as the house of God was at Shiloh. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Just stop right there. There's that tagline at the end that just again reminds us there was no king and everybody was just doing whatever they wanted. And this is how bad it got. Not only are tribes stealing from each other, they're stealing false gods from each other. And not only that, now you've got the tribe of Dan making an accusation against the tribe of Ephraim, this guy Micah. And they say, you know what? If you challenge us, we'll kill you, fellow Israelite. We'll kill you rather than give you back your stuff. So just deal with it. They make their way up to Laish and they conquer an unsuspecting people, an easy battle, right? There's no big deal. And they take what they want and they get it easily. But did they win? I'll show you here just, you know, on the map, you can see the degree of change. Here's the tribe of Dan. They travel through Ephraim. They steal the gods. Then they just keep going. They're traveling. Watch how far. All the way up to the very northern tippy top part of Israel, okay? And this is where the spring is for the Jordan River. It's a beautiful place to live. And they said, and again, an unsuspecting people. Their closest help was all the way out here at the coastline. Nothing's coming. So the tribe of Dan just relocates. It's pretty simple. You know, when we're going the wrong way, we justify sin. When we're going the wrong way, we distort God's will. When we're going the wrong way, we avoid doing hard things. We do the easy stuff. We do what's comfortable, what we enjoy. We do the stuff that we can understand and that we feel like we can control. And here you have this graphic illustration of just even geographically how far they had gone to avoid doing the hard thing. Honestly, it was kind of hard. You know, 600 troops and travel all that way and to go to war. But in their minds, it was a lot easier than dealing with the Canaanite people that were there that God had called them to go to war with. It's a huge difference. When we're going the wrong way, we avoid doing hard things. We would rather expend our energy just doing what we want rather than doing what God's called us to. And that's a struggle for all of us. You know, every day we wake up and we've only got so much energy. We've only got so much time. And there's always that constant calling that says, I just want to do what I want to do. And maybe many days, most days, we have to say, wait a minute, what does God want me to do? What has God called me to? I know that zip code looks like it'd be easier or better, but God's called me to this zip code. You see, the whole struggle with the tribe of Dan and the whole Levite thing with Micah and the idolatry and all of it, it all boils down to faith. It boils down to believing God. And the tribe of Dan didn't believe that God could give them victory over those Canaanites. You see, going God's way means going by faith. There's no other way to do it. There's no shortcut. There's no easier route. Going God's way means going by faith. We have to believe that God is who He says He is. We have to believe that God will do what He has said that He will do. And maybe you're here this morning and God is calling you to do something that for you is very hard. All right? It might not be getting on a boat and going to Burma, right, to preach the gospel for 4 decades, to lose 2 wives and 7 children in the process, and to die as a result, as Adoniram Judson did. It may not be that calling. It might be a different calling. Right? It might be to have a hard conversation with somebody. Maybe you've got a friend or a family member. You know you need to have a hard conversation. And you're just avoiding it. Because it's easier. Going God's way means going by faith. Maybe you need to believe that God will provide for you during the middle of that conversation. That He's at work in the situation. Maybe you need to believe that God sent you to have that conversation. I know for a fact that God's calling us to share the gospel with others around us. Maybe there's a coworker, maybe there's a family member, maybe there's a neighbor that God has put you in a situation where you need to share the gospel with them. And it's hard to do and it's potentially awkward. Going God's way means going by faith. It's believing that God blesses His word and He'll provide for you. It doesn't guarantee easiness. It doesn't guarantee comfort. It doesn't guarantee fast results. But He guarantees that He's there. He's working. Maybe you need to have that conversation. Maybe you need to share the gospel. Maybe God is calling you to go on a missions trip. Maybe He's calling you to cash in some vacation time and to spend a little extra money and to, you know, I don't like flying, get on the plane and go somewhere and eat weird food, because maybe there's a need in that culture, in that community, that God has equipped you to go and meet. And maybe you have the time and the opportunity to do that. Going God's way means going by faith. Maybe you need to go on that trip. Maybe God is calling you to get on a boat and go to a distant land and spend your life investing in other people, sharing the gospel, learning a language, translating the Bible, planting churches. Maybe He is calling you to that. It's just too rare that we hear about people making those hard decisions for the Lord. We've gotten too comfortable. Going God's way means going by faith. And this is the crazy part. So here's the tribe of Dan moving from south of Israel, moving all the way up to the north, thinking that they're going to get a better deal, thinking it's going to be easier for them up there, so on and so forth, right? That's what they're believing. But in reality, it's faith, and it's only faith that really leads to the zip code that God has for us. Again, if they would simply have lived by faith, they would have experienced God's blessing down where they were, where He had called them to be. There's this the bigger picture that's going on with God's promise to provide a land for the Israelites. In Hebrews 11 and 12, the Bible tells us this. It tells us that Abraham was looking to a better country, a heavenly country. In chapter 12, it says that Abraham was looking to a heavenly city, a better city than an earthly spot. The point there is that chunk of real estate in the Middle East is not all that the Bible's talking about with this land promise. That the promised land comes to mean more than just that chunk. It actually refers to ultimately the whole new heaven and new earth. And the idea is that by faith in Jesus, you can arrive at that promised land. And that's the only way to get there. Again, there's no easy route. So the lie is, oh, it's easier, it's more comfortable for me to go that way, or it's better for me to go that way, I can justify going that way. And the whole time, Jesus is saying, no, come with me, come with me. And yes, the lifestyle of faith, Jesus says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light, which means that there's no guilt for sin in following Jesus. There's a freedom and a grace there that makes following Jesus, easy and light. In that sense, it's not a burden. But that's different than saying it's easy. Jesus never said it's just going to be comfortable and easy the whole time. In fact, He said the opposite. He said, the world hated me, and boy, it's going to hate you. So buckle up. Let's go. He said, if you're going to follow me, you've got to deny yourself and pick up your cross and get ready to get on that boat and go to Burma, and now we're ready to go. Going God's way means going by faith. And there's this recognition that only because Jesus died for our sins and rose from the dead can we actually ever get to that place of rest and comfort and the spot where we really need to be. And the truth is, we're looking forward to it. It's not here yet. We're looking forward to that heavenly city. We're looking forward to ultimately being in the land with Jesus, dwelling with Him, reigning with Him, as we sang. That's by faith. It means doing hard things. Maybe you're here this morning and you're struggling with discontentment. Maybe there's a situation in your family and you're just struggling. God, why do I have these problems with my family? Maybe it's a marriage. Lord, why do I have struggles in this marriage? Maybe it's a job thing. Lord, why am I in this job? Maybe it's a zip code thing. Lord, why am I here? You know, maybe it's a weather thing. Lord, why the weather? Why the winter? Why this? You know, we have all these different things that we struggle with. Finances. God, why did you give me this financial trial right now? Whatever it could be. And we struggle with discontentment. At the bottom level of the source of discontentment, there are all kinds of reasons. But when you get down to that bottom level, ultimately, it's a questioning of what God is doing and why He has you in a particular place at a particular time. In our analogy this morning, it's that zip code. God, why did you put me here? Why did you put me here to deal with that family member or that spouse or this job or that financial crisis or this physical problem or whatever it is? But discontentment reveals what we want the most, and this is the problem. Discontentment ends up believing something wrong about God. Discontentment means, God, you've put me in the wrong zip code. Discontentment with God is always the wrong target. God's never the problem. We're the problem. Dan wasn't in the wrong spot. They were in the right spot. They just didn't believe that God would come through as He said He would. They didn't trust Him. They didn't want to risk and trust God to do the hard thing. They wanted something easier. Maybe you're here this morning and you're struggling with discontentment. Maybe you need to ask the question, do I trust God to be God? Do I trust Him to provide the way He said He will provide? Do I trust Him to sustain me the way He promised to sustain me? Maybe the discontentment needs to be questioned. Maybe I should be content in this zip code. Maybe God has me here for just this time, for a very specific purpose. Maybe I need to ask the question, what hard thing is God calling me to do? And do I believe that He's faithful? Do I trust Him enough to do it? Going God's way means going by faith. I have these friends I met in college, and they got together, they got married. And eventually, you know, they went to seminary, and came out that they really felt God's call to go to India. And they're really passionate about seeing churches planted in India, so they want to go to India. So they had tons of kids, so they've got, you know, this massive family. They're going to move their whole family over to India. Okay, in my estimation, that qualifies as a hard thing. Agreed? Can we just go with that? Okay, moving from Texas to India, actually. All right, so it's a big move. So they're going to go to India, and they're raising money. It took them a lot longer to get there than they thought, just for complications and issues, and, you know, as their time of preparation took longer. So finally, they finally get to India. They start this really exciting seminary there, and they're a part of it where they're training local pastors to invest in new local pastors and kind of see the church grow and make them mature disciples in India. It's awesome stuff. So, you know, this is also exciting, and we're praising God with them that they get there. Well, when the Modi government was recently elected in India a year and a half or 2 years ago, that government actually stopped approving visas for Christian missionaries in a lot of situations. And so as a strategy. So what ended up happening was they came home for a surgery for one of their kids, and they couldn't go back because they couldn't get the visas for the family to go back. So basically God just slammed this door shut of India. Now this is me in that situation. Wow, Lord, you know, we had a good couple years in India. Thank you for providing with us. I guess you really want us back here in Texas, right? So we can endure, and we'll settle back in. We'll settle back into home. Okay, I guess you just have us, Lord. You want us to minister a place where we know the language, where the food isn't crazy hot, you know, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, we'll do that, right? That's the way I would just be transparent. That's the way I would have interpreted that. This is what happens. He sends me this email, and he says, yeah, we can't go back to India. It's really frustrating. He said, but there's an opening in Dubai. And I'm thinking, really? And he's like, yeah, it's really exciting. Actually, he said, what's happened in the Middle East, that Dubai is this, you know, cross-cultural central spot. And you have people coming from India, and you have people coming from North Africa. You have people coming from other Arab nations, and they're coming there for business and all this other stuff, and they get exposed to the gospel, and then they take it back to wherever they're going. So he's talking about this whole thing about how he's going to move with his family from the situation in India, which is really easy and comfortable for them, actually. And they're going to move to Dubai, right? And you're going, and I'm thinking, going God's way means going by faith. It means believing that God is at work and asking the question, God, where can I serve you? What are you calling me to? Again, I don't think God's calling any of us here to go to Dubai. Maybe He is. I don't know. But the question is, for some of us, for all of us, there are hard things that God calls us to, isn't there? And we've got to ask the question, God, help me to trust you in those decisions. Help me to be looking for areas where I can make a decision by faith to honor you. And Lord, protect me from running from the hard thing. Keep me in my zip code. Give me the faith to serve you right where I am, to do that hard thing. See, we need more people making those hard decisions by faith. We have to recognize that God is calling us to be where we are and to trust Him in the middle of this, to do what He's called us to do. Jesus won't let you down. Doesn't mean it'll be easy, but He won't let you down. He is faithful. And for that reason, we can go His way by faith. Amen? Let's have a word of prayer. Please bow your heads with me. Father, again, we thank you for Judges chapter 18. Lord, we think about the tribal migration of Dan, and we realize, Lord, it exposes false worship. It exposes selfishness. It exposes love of comfort. Lord, it exposes justifying sin, distorting your will. Lord, it exposes the lack of faith, struggling to believe you. And Lord, we know, we confess, we're not immune to that struggle. Lord, help us to believe you. Help us to be people of faith, especially when you're calling us to hard things. Lord, I pray for those here who may know that they're justifying sin. Give them the courage to repent, Lord, and to make changes. Father, I pray for those here who may be struggling, distorting your will and trying to twist what you've said and to make it work in their situation, just to avoid the hard thing. Lord, give them faith to trust you. Father, help us when we're confronted with that hard choice. Help us to choose to believe you. Lord, convince us that you are great and that you're faithful, that you're trustworthy. Lord, we know that Jesus calls us to pick up our cross and to follow him. And Lord, that's hard. And we need help. We ask for your Spirit to bolster our faith, to confront us with our sin. And Lord, I pray that we would be a body of believers who do the hard things because we trust you, because we are people of faith. And Lord, whether they're the big things, like moving across the world, or whether they're just the small things of having a conversation, Lord, we ask that you would be glorified as we go your way, as we walk by faith. Lord, we know that's only possible because of the work of Jesus, who has a place for us, Lord. We praise you for that, that because of his death and resurrection, our future is secure, and that one day we will reign with him in the land. Lord, in the meantime, Lord, give us that faith to trust you. We ask these things in his name, our Savior. Amen.